It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
It's a classic from Boston, bringing us into the Sports Rush on a Tuesday. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon for your daily local sports picks, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 468-62, 468-62. The Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Big show on the way. Yes, today we're giving you a chance to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia once again. You'll get a large pizza to Pizza Hut just for being the correct caller. And I'll just tell you right now, we may or may not take caller number one. I haven't decided yet. We may, we may take caller number 27.
We might be.
And we might have to do it 30 minutes later than scheduled.
Yeah, that might take a minute.
Hey, Joe, will you please call back again? You've been caller 21, 22, 23, and 24. We need you to just keep calling, Joe. But we will play coming up a little after 5 o'clock. You'll get your cue to call in and win with Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Also, Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball coach Maria Marcassano, the ins and outs of the transfer portal. We're going to go right to a coach who had kind of her first full experience in the portal this year, where some of the players went in, some of the players came out and have joined the Mastodons. And last year, in talking to coach, she said, it was very difficult to even try to get interest from someone in the portal because one of the first things they would do is look at your roster and decide, there's not really a spot for me on that team. They've got, you know, five starters returning, six of their top seven. Well, it really wasn't any different this year. The Mastodons have four starters returning, six of their top seven that will be back. But yet she was able to have a very successful year in bringing in a lot of talent, upgrading some of the talent. And we'll talk about some of the players that she was able to pick up out of the portal. And, of course, tomorrow's a big day when we talk about the transfer portal. It's the final day. Players are going to be able to submit their names into the transfer portal. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be signed by tomorrow, but tomorrow's the last day for them to make a decision to enter the portal. And, Adam, I was kind of thinking this through, that what we're seeing right now as far as the portal is we're seeing the players that have hung it out or stuck it out and kind of feel like, well, I've got a shot because so-and-so left, you know, and maybe I can get their spot next year. So you're looking at a guy that might be a fifth or sixth, seventh guy on a team, sixth or seventh, I guess would be more like it. And then they bring in a portal guy that you know is going to have that spot and you're going to have to now beat them out for it. And they're thinking, geez, do I really want to get into another competition when the guy ahead of me just finally graduated? And so you'll see some of those guys that are going to transfer because the team they currently play on has already brought in a transfer portal guy who plays their position. In fact, we had a situation like that, I think, maybe come up yesterday, and we'll talk about that. In fact, it's a Horizon League team that had it happen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. Pacers, big one tonight.
Yeah.
They will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. We've got plenty to talk about as far as previewing the Pacers-Bucks game five, with the Pacers holding a 3-1 series lead. The Pacers have a chance to do something they haven't done in 10 years tonight in Milwaukee. Hey, you know, last night, speaking of not doing something for a while, it was a good night for me.
Yeah,
you know why it was a good night. Yes, sir. The Florida Panthers, they won at home and have advanced in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and they knock off their nemesis, the Tampa Bay Lightning, in five games. It was a 6-1 final, and the game was 2-1 with less than 10 minutes to play.
Oh, sounds like it was some maybe some empty netters there at the
end. Yeah, it's, you know, when it's a elimination game.
Oh, you put them in.
You play with all skaters if you're behind by a couple. And so Tampa Bay, once they got down 4-1, basically was going to play the last 4.5 minutes without a goaltender because all they needed at that point, they needed goals.
Yeah.
And their power play is fantastic, but that's 5-on-4 instead of 6-on-5. And the Panthers were able to get, 3 empty net goals?
Wow.
To extend the 4-1 lead. Actually, I guess 2 empty netters officially. They were up 4-1. They scored 2 empty netters. They win it 6-1. And they win the series 4-1. And now the Panthers advance where they'll take on the New York Rangers.
Oh, that'll be one heck of a series. It'll be a New York-Florida rivalry. You know, those two states kind of commingle with each other a bit.
And the fact that I'm an Indiana Pacers fan.
Ooh.
And a Panthers fan.
Yes.
I might have to deal with way too much New York City.
Oh, a lot of New York media coming
in. A lot of New York to have to deal with. A lot of the, well, I'd say red and blue, but with Knicks, it's more of a...
Oh, it's orange.
Orange and blue. Yeah.
Orange and blue skies.
Let's say a lot of Madison Square Garden.
You'll be seeing it a lot.
Yeah, because every night at Madison Square Garden, probably one of my teams will be playing either on ice or on hardwood. But let's hope it gets to that stage because Pacers still have to make it.
Yeah. And so do the Knicks.
And so do the Knicks. Yeah, I've already put the Knicks in. I think the Sixers are done. Did you hear the latest about Joel Embiid?
I sure did. He needs an Advil.
Now he's got a migraine.
Needs an Advil, a Tylenol. Poor guy.
I mean, he needs a new knee, a couple of new ankles. I mean,
needs
this
a new
guy,
attitude.
I mean, this guy has dealt with so many different injuries, and then today he misses the shoot-around, not because his back hurts or his knee hurts. It's because he had a migraine. And so he didn't attend the shoot-around earlier today. Not sure. I mean, generally a migraine's a fairly short-term. It just is a debilitating...
Absolutely.
Pain in your head, which hence the name... Headache, you know.
they're saying it might be kind of correlated to the Bell's palsy that he's been going through.
Well, I was going to ask that question. That's what I was going to ask next. The Bell's palsy, which, you know, it distorts the face.
Right.
And all of a sudden half of your face goes kind of numb.
Sure. I could see that leading to a headache for sure.
I don't know what exactly. I'm very unfamiliar with Bell's palsy.
Same.
I'm learning it kind of as we go. I've heard of it before, but I really never followed the symptoms that closely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's supposed to be a 2-3 week thing, and he is dealing with that. So, it's like if you can't count on Embiid, there's no chance at all. I mean, Embiid on the over-under tonight is like 32.5, 33.5, something like that in points. That tells you how much he's counted on by the Philadelphia 76ers. So if he doesn't play, the series is over. Done.
Yeah.
And with Josh Hart out-rebounding him.
He said today that Josh Hart did. He said that he takes about 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine before games, which is about 2 or 3 cups of coffee's worth.
You know, is that he takes it like pill form?
No, I think he drinks it. Or he might just...
Wouldn't that make your stomach a little upset if you've got
that
3 or 4 cups of coffee?
It might just be like caffeine powder. Who knows? But he said he also likes Mike and Ike's.
I don't know if caffeine comes in a pill form, but I don't know. But so he likes to caffeinate.
Likes to caffeinate, likes to be jolty out there going for those rebounds.
little jittery. If you see the guy, a little jittery at the free throw line. Starts to get some shakes. He's over-caffeinated. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Last night, Lakers get beat by the Nuggets. It's another game the Lakers led. In fact, if you look at this series, the Lakers have led in total minutes against the Denver Nuggets almost 3-1.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know. The Lakers have led 165 minutes while Denver led 59 minutes. 165-59. The Lakers were on top, and yet the Lakers lose the series 4-1.
That's impressive. It's just those 59 minutes that the Nuggets were ahead. It happened to be at the end of the game.
They're gamers. I mean, they're winners. They're champions. They're, you know, and that's what champions do. You can have a bad night. You can be down, and you can get all the way to the finish and still have a way, find a way to get a win. Last night, it was a guy that was a question mark on whether he was even going to play, and then Jamal Murray ends up hitting the game-winning bucket with just 3 or 4 seconds left. And Denver gets the win over the Lakers. And for LeBron, it's a walk-off. Not the kind of walk-off he expected, but a walk-off from Denver. And now, of course, all the attention, as it does every year at this time when LeBron's eliminated from the playoffs, is all about next season and what's ahead for LeBron. And in fact, after the game, I thought he had an interesting answer when he was asked about his Lakers future.
Your last game with the Lakers? I'm not going to answer that.
The interesting answer was no answer. He gave no answer at all, wouldn't even talk about it or discuss it.
Yeah, that was his last response, too. He just said, I'm not going to answer that, and then the interview was over.
Got up, walked out, done with the press conference. Well, there's a lot of thought that, you know, LeBron, where will his options be? There may not be as many as he had a few years ago. And the Lakers, I think, will work to get him back. But the question is, what does it take from the Lakers to get him to return? Do they have to, again, concede certain roster moves to LeBron James' wishes to get LeBron to come back? And at this point, is it worth it? Is it better for the Lakers just go ahead, cut ties, say, you know what, no matter what we do, we don't believe we're going to be good enough to win a championship, and we're playing for 3 or 4 years down the road, and we'll let Denver have the next couple of seasons. OKC is young and very talented, and maybe we just need, this is the right time to start a little rebuild out in Hollywood. And, I don't know. There'll be options for the Lakers either way. They want to spend the money. They want to make the roster moves that LeBron is wanting. But here's the thing. When you look at where the Lakers go from here, is it too late? Is the era dead of the super teams where you bring two or three superstar players together? And if I was to define a super team in my mind, because I think everybody could have their own definition, I would say a roster where two or more top all-stars choose a particular destination that allows them to play together to chase a championship. That, to me, is what a super team is. It isn't the Spurs of the 90s when Duncan and Robinson and Ginobili and Parker, because those were guys that came up with the Spurs, and most if not all, I'm trying to think if any of those guys were actually brought in, but those were guys that were drafted by the Spurs. The Boston Celtics are a team that has added pieces, and they've added some superstar pieces, but the core of Jaylen Brown and Tatum, Jason Tatum, those guys were drafted. And so, in fact, Jason Tatum, I went back and looked again, and the idea that Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz were the two draft picks ahead of Jason Tatum is still baffling at this point, 7 years later. It is.
Hindsight 2020.
Everybody thought it might have been a mistake at the time, and it turned out to be a big mistake. The Celtics got the best player out of that draft.
Mm-hmm.
But and so teams like that are not, because you can have a good core and you can bring a piece to join them, or maybe even two pieces to join them. But like this year, I would say that Phoenix qualifies as a super team because what they do, they went out, they got Kevin Durant, and it doesn't have to be at the same time. It might slowly be put together over a year or so. But you get Kevin Durant, and then you get Beal, and you think, okay, we're putting a super team together. Well, the problem is the Phoenix Suns' best team was before they tried to build a super team.
Mm-hmm.
When they had DeAndre Ayton and Booker and Chris Paul, I mean, that was the team that made it to the NBA Finals.
Right.
And was up 2-0 before dropping the next four to the Milwaukee Bucks. But the point is, it was not a super team. So, you know, our super team's dead. Now, I think about the last super teams that had success. The Celtics, obviously, with Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, that team was a kind of a constant in the NBA Finals. They won a championship. So you've got to think, okay, that was a successful super team, but that's almost 15 years ago. And then the Miami Heat, when LeBron James famously said he was going to South Beach and he got Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade was already there, but Ray Allen joined them. Mm-hmm. And so you brought some superstars to join one player in Miami. And then there were a couple of other role players that followed. And so I think the Miami Heat would be considered a super team from 2010 to 2015. But since then, I mean, you've had teams like the Brooklyn Nets who've tried a couple of different renditions of a super team, including most recently Harden, Irving, and Durant. Then you have the Clippers with Kawhi, Paul George, and Harden. They're the current example of a super team.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned the Suns. And then the Lakers, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I'm not sure if they ever picked up the third.
No.
But okay, again, going back to the definition, if you look at the Golden State Warriors, because somebody could say, what about the Golden State Warriors? The Warriors had Steph, had Klay, and had Draymond. They added the extra piece in Kevin Durant, but it wasn't like they brought two or three superstars in to play together. Mm-hmm. They brought one to join what was already a very strong nucleus.
Yeah, I mean, you could call that a super team not by your definition.
They were the two-word version, super team, not the one-word version, super team.
I like it.
Yeah, they were like the adjective and noun as opposed to the noun.
I like it. Little grammar lesson, too.
I don't even know if I'm right. I've got an English teacher right now that's just scratching their head.
What?
But the point is, our super team's dead. Is it worth the money? Is it still, you know, is it still in the DNA of the NBA to put together super teams?
I think that's a great question for the text line. If you want to text in your response, just text 46862. I think we're seeing a little bit more of a focus on overall roster depth now.
Well, and it's going not only depth of roster, but you're seeing some of the rise of teams as their draft picks develop.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at, it took a while. Miles Turner is a Pacers original. But you look at teams like Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. who's having great success from their draft picks.
Absolutely.
And, Dallas Mavericks have gotten a team built around a couple of draft picks. So, you know, yes, you bring other pieces in with them because it's never enough just to have one or two guys that you develop within your own walls. But is it the way of the future for the NBA to try to build for championships within and via the draft and finding that next generational guy? Or do you go out and pay the $50 million a year it costs per player to try to mold a super team? They're not getting the results anymore, so I don't know that it's worth it. I think the era of the super team is dead.
Rest in peace.
46862. The Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let's go ahead and check in. What's happening in the world of sports today? Today's top headlines coming at you with Adam Lundy.
All right, thanks, Brett. According to Dan Murphy and Pete Thamel, the leaders of college sports are involved in deep discussions to reach a legal settlement that would likely lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model. Quote, while sources stress that no deal is imminent, details about what a multi-billion dollar settlement could look like are expected to be shared with campuses in the near future. The Cleveland Browns added depth to their offensive line today, agreeing on a contract with free agent center Brian Allen. His agency announced on social media, Allen, who started 36 games and a Super Bowl for the Rams, is getting a one-year contract with the Browns. And Tyrese Haliburton is questionable for tonight's Game 5 against the Bucks due to the back spasms he's been having. The Bucks all have Giannis, Lillard, Middleton, and Beverly listed as game-time decisions with injuries. And those are your top stories today, Brett.
Pacers have gotten some pretty productive minutes out of TJ McConnell. I'm not sure if they've got the second backup guard, but if the Bucks don't play those guys like Giannis, Lillard, if they are ruled out, do you sit Tyrese Haliburton?
Ooh, That's tough.
It's back spasms.
Back spasms.
The only thing that's going to make it better is probably rest.
Mm.
And I don't know if you take that chance.
Maybe you see how tonight's game goes and maybe see if you can get him a little bit of extra rest should you pull away.
Nobody pulls away in the NBA.
That's true.
You know, when you've got a big lead, you start launching a bunch of wild threes, and next thing you know, it goes from 15 points down to six. The other night.
So true.
But I would be tempted. I would be tempted, even though, you know, for the Pacers, they're trying to get where they haven't been for a decade, and sometimes you don't want to let your foot up off the gas. But if your vision is short term, winning this series, play him. If your vision is competing for a championship this year, rest him.
Mm, there you go.
Well, that's the decision the Pacers have to make.
Right.
Is it all about right now, tonight, winning this game and worrying about the future in the future, or is it about securing a healthy Tyrese Haliburton for the next round against the Knicks?
Ooh.
Because I honestly, when you deal with back spasms, that's one of those things that you can't really cure it. It has to kind of just go away on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, the pounding and the wear that it's taking from 35, 40 minutes of basketball, no matter how much you try to rest him, you know how that works in the NBA.
Yeah.
Even if you try to give him extended rest, he's still going to have 30, 35 minutes on the court. What would be the turnaround if the Knicks and Pacers both win tonight? Do they get an extended? Do they not have to open their series until Saturday or Sunday?
Ooh, I don't know.
They do get a little extra break.
Mm.
But right now we're in an every other day pattern, and it's like, okay, if you do that, you don't win tonight, you play Haliburton, he's going to have to come back and play in 2 days at home. And it's not going to be much better in 2 days than it was tonight. It's certainly not going to be, quote, healed. So he's still going to have to be dealing with it. I don't know. Give us your thoughts. 46862,
yeah.
The Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up in hour number two on the show, we've got Maria Marcassano, women's basketball coach, Purdue-Fort Wayne, to talk about the ins and outs of the transfer portal. As Purdue-Fort Wayne has seen some players enter, but they have had some really good players that have come out of the portal and joined the Mastodons. And we'll talk about the roster construction and how she feels about the dust settling and where the roster is at. A lot of experience coming back from the team last year that made it to the Horizon League semifinals for the second consecutive year. 23 wins. Heck of a season for a college basketball program.
Yeah, and a great run in the WNIT as well.
And then, finishing it off with that WNIT run, where they got beat in the Super 16, but the team that beat them won the championship.
That always makes it feel a little better.
Yeah, and sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's interesting because I asked one of the players,
mm-hmm.
did it make it any different after you had that tough loss by 4 to St. Louis, to watch St. Louis then go on and win the championship? And they said, no, that made it worse.
Mm, I can see both sides.
Because they realized the opportunity they had and how close they were, and all they had to do was win that home game. And they, not that they self-destructed, they beat themselves a little bit, missed a couple of open layups, mm-hmm. missed a couple of free throws. So, you know, they had their chances, lost by 4, and then St. Louis went on to blow out Minnesota in the championship a couple of games later.
Mm.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Is the super team era dead in the NBA? Got a text on the subject.
We sure did. Somebody texted in that there are too many good players these days in the NBA to create super teams.
Yep, good players, young players, and everybody's finding the next young superstar. And with the way the NBA draft is set up, those that don't have the super team this year are going to have good draft picks. And the problem is with the super team, you've got all your eggs in one basket. You lose depth. I mean, you basically mortgage your future for your present.
Right.
And if your present doesn't come through, it is a completely failed experiment.
It is. I mean, we've seen the Phoenix Suns now have no first or second round draft picks until 2030.
You have no options.
Nothing.
Yeah, you run out of options as far as, okay, if we blow this up, then what do we do? Well,
nobody's going to want those contracts you sign those players to either. So it's just, you're just stuck.
No, you can't trade them off because other teams can't take on those huge contracts. It's just, it's a nightmare scenario. And I think it's killing the idea of the super team in the NBA. 4-6-8-6-2. And if the super team was had an overwhelming success rate, then maybe an owner or two would be jumping in, or more owners would be jumping in. But it's not. They haven't.
Nope.
I mean, the last three or four attempts, I mean, the Clippers, I guess it's wait to see.
Yeah.
They're still alive.
They are.
But
Kawhi's now, out indefinitely, so
So there's still the issues,
right,
with them. And it took a heck of a performance from both James Harden and Paul George for them to get the win the other night. 4-6-8-6-2, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So I don't know if you heard about this, but the NFL is...
Oh, I don't know if we got that one.
Working on putting together an 18-game schedule. Now, here's the thing. Roger Goodell really wants this to happen, but because of the player's contract... They're not going to be renewing their labor agreement for about another, 6 years, 7 years. And the 18-game schedule would have to come at the time they negotiate a new labor deal. If it's before then, it would have to be a special negotiation that the players would have to concede. And right now, I don't think they've got the support from the players to go to an 18-game schedule. But Roger Goodell is very... very much still behind the NFL playing an 18-game schedule. And what he said was, and this will affect other sports too. It's not just the NFL. It will affect other sports because, number one, they now want to move the Super Bowl to the weekend that currently has the Daytona 500 and the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Oh, man.
That would force the Daytona 500 and the NBA All-Stars to move their event, and it would push the NBA All-Star Weekend back a week, which means you would be, almost three-fourths of the way through the season before you'd have your All-Star break.
That's pretty far in. I don't know if that's gonna
unless
work.
You if you do have that bye week in the NFL before the Super Bowl, do you move the NBA All-Star Weekend up a week to take advantage of that open weekend?
That's a possibility, or they could incorporate their All-Star into the in-season tournament. Would that be too early?
That might be too early.
That's true.
Because, again, you've got to have the window that gives you the TV opportunity because the networks are going to want it at a certain time.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that Roger Goodell is really set on making this an 18-game regular season, and to do that, It would have to start the weekend of Labor Day. Mm. It would be starting a week or earlier. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with them starting on Labor Day. I know right now college football tries to take advantage of that weekend, and they've put together a number of showcase games. I don't care. It's too early in the college football season to even know who plays for who. I would be fine if Labor Day weekend was filled with NFL football. And then that would give them two bye weeks instead of one. And then the Super Bowl would have to be pushed back a week to what would be President's Day weekend, currently where the Daytona 500 and NBA All-Star Weekend are residing. So it could affect a lot. But it looks like at this point, if you anticipate it in the next couple of years, don't, because a lot would have to happen. And right now, it doesn't look like those things could happen. The players would have to, they've got a players agreement
right
now with the league, and you'd have to get them to agree to renegotiate their labor agreement to include 18-game seasons. And right now, I don't think the players are for it.
Right, and then there's the whole thing of figuring out what you do with the preseason games. Do you make that less preseasons? And like you said, it's just getting the NFLPA to kind of sign off on any potential changes. It's just going to be an entire process.
You know, here's the thing about the preseason, right? Right now, it's like they play three,
mm-hmm.
which basically most of the teams are using it as playing one. Because they're really only playing their best players, their at-risk players, like one game, getting them some reps, maybe a quarter into the second quarter, and then it's they sit. The third game in the preseason is generally being used to showcase the players competing for roster spots.
Yeah.
And the first week, it's, you know, will they play, won't they play type of thing. And even if a starter plays, they go in for a series and they're done. So really, you know, you're not – preseason football, you're not going to miss anything.
Get rid of one or two of them?
Well, I mean, I think if you have two, you're fine.
Okay.
You have one where your starters can play and you can decide how long to play them. Then you could have one that if you want to play a starter for the first quarter and then turn it over to all of the guys competing for roster spots, you're fine. Play two, turn it over, 18 games. That gives you a combined 20, which is only or is the same number of games that you have right now. But I don't think Roger Goodell can make that change and decide we're adding an 18th regular season game and we're cutting a preseason game. I don't think he could do that without the players' concession. So all of the expectations are that this is going to be something that he campaigns for over the next 4 or 5 years, trying to get it into the negotiations for the 2023 or 2030 players' agreement. So 46862. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Hey, don't forget, we've got our summer kickoff event coming to Parkview Field, Tin Caps Baseball on May 23rd, and we're going to be up in the Summit. Now, here's what we did. Everybody, you know, looks at some of these group seating areas, like the rooftop out in right field, mm-hmm. and of course the top of the structure out in center field. That's the Summit. And that's where we're going to be. And what we've done as a radio station is we've said, hey, you know what? Let's give our listeners a chance to buy individual tickets for there, because that's not an individual seating area. You can never buy tickets. You have to be part of a group. Well, if you don't work for the right company or you don't know the right people, you'll never end up there. And this is your rare chance to get tickets to come up and see how see how the finer dining takes place at Parkview. We're going to have a all-you-can-eat food buffet available. Also, we'll have draft beer. We'll have special box wine. Is it box wine or house wine?
I think it's house wine. I think box wine is kind of has a negative connotation.
Okay, so it's house wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget about the box part. I never said that. I just think of a box wine as like the, you know, the average wine, right? I mean, fine with... I'm fine with boxed wine.
If boxed wine is your average, we might be in...
I'm fine with boxed wine.
We might be in bad territory.
Oh, man. You know, the great thing about boxed wine is it's got its own little spout. You can just go to the refrigerator, open it up, pour it. Let me see. What do I want? A water? Diet Pepsi? No.
A little Pinot.
I think I'll just fill up this 32-ounce cup with some wine and drink it tonight. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let us know that you're going to join us on May 23rd for our summer kickoff event. Tickets are available right now. They're at 1380thefan.com. Get yours, because the first 100 people are going to get a commemorative cup with the logos of the Tin Caps, the 1380thefan.com, and Midwest Box Breaks. Of course, we've got to thank Midwest Box Breaks for sponsoring the event to make it happen and make it possible for everybody to buy their individual tickets to come out and join us May 23rd, Thursday, leading into Memorial Day weekend. Get your tickets now. They're going fast.
I mean, it's the hottest ticket in town, I'd have to say, and it sounds like it's going to be...
That's not an overused cliche.
No one ever says that.
No, no one's ever said it's the hottest ticket in town.
No, I've never heard that one before. But now that that particular season is over, I think we're able to lay claim to it.
That particular the people that actually use that line, we can now use it. They're not using it anymore. They weren't good enough to make it in the playoffs.
Hey,
we weren't going there.
I wasn't going to go there.
But yes, it's the hottest ticket in town for the summertime. But the phrase will be returned to its rightful owner. Come October.
There we go. Hey, somebody texted on the text line, 46862. They said, I'm so old that I can remember when the NFL regular season was only 12 games.
12?
12.
Man, they are old, because I remember 14 and I'm not a youngster.
I'm looking and it says the last time that games were 12, there was 12 games in regular season, was 1960.
That would make our listener 65.
At least.
Well, that they remember. Yeah. Like they're going to remember it if they're one. So they're probably in their 70s.
Shout out to you.
Shout out, brother. It's almost bedtime. Thanks for tuning in. I can tell old jokes because I'm old.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can joke about stuff like that. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine Text Line. Give us your thoughts and let us know you're going to join us. We want to see you at Parkview Field May 23rd for our summer kickoff party with our listeners. 1380 The Fan. It's, tickets are 1380thefan.com. Big thanks to Midwest Box Breaks for presenting our summer kickoff event. All right, we'll come back. Pacers tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get a preview. And also on the way in hour number two at 5:20, Maria Marcassano joins us, Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball coach. Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up at hour number two, we've got Maria Marcassano joining us about 30 minutes or so, 35 minutes from now. Women's basketball coach, Purdue Fort Wayne, they just put out a press release announcing their 6 incoming transfers joining the program. And remember now, part of that number is because last year she decided to go with a small roster. And she didn't use all of the available scholarships because she wanted to wait until this year to start to build. And looks like it's paid off. They got a couple of really highly regarded transfers that are coming into the program.
Yeah.
All right. So tonight, what a crazy schedule. The Pacers Bucks, 9:30 p.m. tip.
9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Eastern Central, and that's still late in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's still an 8:30 tip in Milwaukee. So I'm sure the fans, knowing they're going to get their tails whipped, aren't even going to show up. Be an empty arena.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because all these games tonight, it's 3 East Coast Eastern time kind of matchups, except for Milwaukee.
Yeah, you've got 2 East and 1 Central. As far as the games that are scheduled, because there's games in New York and in Cleveland.
So one team had to take the late game, and unfortunately it was the one in the Central.
Yeah, because TNT has a doubleheader.
Yep.
And the first game's going to start at 7, which means Pacers-Bucks is going to be a flexible start. I mean, that might not start till 9:45.
I mean, should we see an overtime? I don't think we will between the Sixers and the Knicks. Then it could go 10 o'clock, 10:15.
We didn't see an overtime last night between Florida and Tampa Bay either, and I predicted one.
You did.
Do you remember that? I said, if you want to see overtime hockey, well, instead you got a 6-1 score. I got real close on that one. Oh, man.
You should predict more overtimes for your favorite
teams.
Yeah,
I'm the reverse jinx. like the other day when I was talking on the TinCast broadcast.
Yep. Gotten a little announcer's jinx.
When I mentioned the guy that was at the plate for the Loons that he had not hit a home run and he was hitting like .120 on the season. And I'm like, this is not typical. This guy's had a tough start to the season. But, you know, last year he was a pretty good hitter. He hit .277, including 24 home runs. Crack. I mean, literally the next pitch knocked out of the ballpark.
Yep.
I left John Nolan. Yes, that John Nolan, speechless. All he could do was stare at me and then chuckle. Like, I can't believe that just happened. It's kind of the way it has been going for me lately. But it was a close game between the Panthers and the Lightning. Up until 10 minutes left, it was a 2-1 game. It could have been either side. And Tampa Bay twice had goals taken off the board because of goaltender interference calls.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a Comets game.
One that was not called on the ice but was reviewed, and they ruled that it was goaltender interference. They took off the goal that would have given Tampa Bay a 1-0 lead in the first period. And then the other one that was called on the ice, it was reviewed and upheld after the review.
Ooh.
So twice Tampa Bay had goals disallowed because of goaltender interference.
Hey, the Panthers will take that.
Absolutely. Because the last 3 times the teams met, Tampa Bay won the series.
Oh.
Including the last two times they met back in 21 and 22. So it's been kind of the nemesis for the Panthers. They ended up surviving. But tonight, speaking of nemesis, Milwaukee's going to be saying that about the Pacers here if the Pacers get the win tonight. Pacers, after winning 4 out of 5 during the regular season, have now won 3 out of 4 in the postseason and have a chance to win this series 4-1 tonight on the road, and still plenty of question marks as far as who is and who won't be playing.
Yeah. Injuries.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the latest injury report might be on this one. For the Bucks, they're considering everybody, at least what I've got, a game-time decision. I don't know if the game time's close enough at a 9:30 tip. Yeah, it's going to be even later to get a decision on game time. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, game-time decision. I have heard that he is out and not expected to play. Dame Lillard, he's going to be a game-time decision. Patrick Beverley has been added to the list, as has Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good chunk of Milwaukee Bucks talent right there.
Sure is. It could be – I don't want to say an easy one, but it could be a definitely a lighter load on the Pacers tonight.
Yeah, it just – it would be tough for the Bucks if they're without – because Beverley is kind of their – defensive, what's a good word to describe him?
He's their bulldog, I guess you would say. He's the scrappy one. He gets under the skin.
He's a little bit of an instigator.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of the guy that just,
causes
chaos. Annoying.
Yeah.
He just annoys you. And
he gets under the skin of the opposing team.
Which, of course, Andrew Nembhard is a little bit of that for the Pacers.
Yeah.
He doesn't back down from anybody. And, of course, the other night got Bobby Portis ejected when Portis decided to take a wild swing at him in his general direction. Pacers have won 3 in a row after dropping the first game of this series, including 125-108 in the victory on Sunday. And now it's, 126-113. 125-108 was the win the last time these two teams met in Milwaukee. So the Pacers obviously go into this game with a lot of confidence. And for Milwaukee, a lot of pain, a lot of injuries. We just don't know what's going to happen for the game tonight. But, how much drama would it be if we know that as of midnight tonight that it's going to be the Pacers and the Knicks? Talk about bringing back memories. Well, it brings them back for me, Adam, and it brings them back for our buddy who watched the 12-game NFL season.
Man.
Because we all remember the Reggie Miller days with Dale Davis, Antonio Davis, Mark Jackson, Rick Smits, Patrick Ewing on the other side. We remember those classic matchups with the Knicks versus the Pacers of the 90s. And you don't.
No. Nope.
You were born in the 90s, but never old enough to witness any of these games.
No.
So, it would be fun because for just the those that have watched the NBA for a while or have followed the Pacers for a while, that's still one of the more memorable rivalry matchups of any decade or era of Pacers basketball was Pacers-Knicks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You remember Reggie. I mean, not that you remember it happening.
Right.
But you do know and are aware of Reggie having the what was it, 8 points, 9 seconds?
Yeah, it was very impressive. And then he did the famous choke maneuver towards Spike Lee.
Yep.
Classic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite the rivalry back then. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We got to take a break. Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia coming up. It'll be your chance to win. And Maria Marcusano, women's basketball coach, Purdue Fort Wayne, will join the program. It's a Tuesday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.